Well, there's a pleasure to be here this evening. I'd like to thank the Reverend Salt for the kind invitation. And I just would concur with our brother when he said, are you going to open the windows wider? So that, it is rather hot in here, or I'm rather nervous, to be quite honest with you. But pray the Lord will give us help and we'll know his presence with us. If you can turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 86, please. Psalm 86. Psalm 86, please. And we'll just take time to read through this psalm. Psalm 86, let's all hear the word of the Lord. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. We know the Lord will bless this reading of his precious word. We could just bow for a short word of prayer. Our gracious Lord and Father in heaven, we just thank thee, Lord, that we can approach thee this evening, not in our own merits, but on the imputed righteousness of Christ. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast drawn many of us here unto thy dear Son. We thank thee that once we were afar off, and yet, Lord, thou hast brought us unto Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, for the all-atoning blood of our dear Saviour. We thank thee that was shed for sinners. We thank thee that was shed for me. We thank thee that we, Lord, have a hope that never dieth, Lord. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast set our feet in heavenly places. And Lord God, this night I come before thee as a weak and lowly servant, Lord, in need of thy help. Lord, I admit, Lord, I can too often rely on myself, Lord, but Lord, I cry unto thee this evening, Lord, that I may, Lord, just put my whole reliance upon the lovely Lord Jesus. Lord God, come down. And Lord, presence thyself among us. Lord, I pray that thou wilt anoint me with thy Spirit. That, Lord God, there will be sinners in this congregation, Lord, who will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Dear God, we just hand this meeting over to thyself. Lord, we desire not to take any of the glory, but we pray that in all things that Christ will have the preeminence. And Lord, he will be magnified through everything that is said this night. Bless, Lord, the work here. We thank thee for it. We thank thee, Lord, for the Reverend Salt. We thank thee for his ministry in this little village. We pray that, Lord, he may see fruit for his labour. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art working in the mission in McGabry. And Lord, we pray for those little children who have put their faith and trust in Christ. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt, Lord, help them to grow. Lord, we pray that they will be young men and women who will have that holy boldness about them, Lord, that will speak well of Christ as they grow up through their young years, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that thou wilt, Lord, just give help, Lord, as we have asked already. For it's in Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I can truly say, along with the psalmist tonight, that the Lord is a God which is full of compassion. He is gracious and he is plenteous in mercy and truth. Thankful that I was brought up in a loving home not too far away from here in McGabry. I was brought up by good parents, by parents who loved and provided for me. But it saddens me to say that my parents don't know Christ as their Lord and Saviour. As a young child, I attended the local Church of Ireland, and I was basically in attendance there until my mid-teens. I was faithfully sent along each week by my parents to the Sunday school and to Church Lads Brigade, as well as the regular church services. But I can never recollect hearing, and it saddens me to say this, about my need of salvation from the pulpit or in Sunday school. I do remember vainly reciting prayers and creeds each week from the prayer book, and I had a certain head knowledge of being a sinner before a holy God. I had a certain head knowledge that I needed my sins to be forgiven, but that's all I can say it was. It was a head knowledge. I never truly believed that I needed to get right before a holy God. And that's something which grieves my soul, that there are churches out there who do not preach the Christ in his all his fullness. And as a child, I attended a church, as you could say, was dead in religion. And there was virtually no gospel light. And I do not believe to this day that many of the Sunday school teachers that taught me or the ministers that I sat under were saved men and women. And it's just something which it is sad to say it is becoming more and more common across this land. When I was 16 years of age, I was invited by a schoolmate to go along to a local Methodist youth club. And each Friday night after our time of recreation, we were faithfully presented with the gospel. A different speaker each week would come along and give an epilogue and tell us that we were sinners, that we were created for a close relationship with God, but we had this sin problem in our lives. And in Isaiah 59, verse 2, we're told, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear." I was told that the problem of sin wasn't unique to me. I was told all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone was in the same position. Everyone was separated from God, facing death and certain judgment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. "Them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." But I'm thankful to God tonight for the remedy of sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." One Friday night in May 1991, an American evangelist by the name of Chuck Ebron came along to preach on the dangers of rock music. I remember going home that night, very conscious that I was a sinner before God. I was under immense conviction of sin. And I realised if I didn't get right with the Lord that night, that there was every chance that I wouldn't wake up in the morning and be in God's heaven, that I would die a sinner and go to God's hell forever. And that night, by the grace of God, I knelt by my bedside and asked with a repentant heart that the Lord Jesus Christ would save me from my sin. And I thank God tonight that the burden of my sins were rolled away and I had peace with God. Shortly after I was saved, I left the Church of Ireland and started going to the Methodist Church, and I was asked to participate as a leader in the youth club each Friday night. And I wish I could tell you tonight that I went on well with the Lord and I grew in grace, but again, it saddens me to say that this was not the case. Looking back, I can attribute this to a number of reasons. I was very young in the faith, and I wasn't reading my Bible every day. I wasn't being consistent in the place of prayer. I wasn't sitting under the ministry where the preaching of Christ was preeminent and was a central act of worship. But I can also attribute this to not knowing the daily infilling of the Holy Ghost. I was ripe for the devil to draw me away into the things of the world. And I made a number of decisions in my life without consulting God. I didn't put God at the centre of my life. And in my late teens and early 20s, I made a lot of important decisions without seeking the Lord's guidance. And as a young believer, this was a sure recipe for disaster. After graduating from Queen's in 1997 with a degree in civil engineering, I accepted a job with a construction company in England. Now, the construction industry is a tough industry to work in as a Christian. You're continually exposed to the immorality and corruption of the workplace. And I had little experience of what working in the construction industry was like. And I remember leaving Northern Ireland with a determination that I was going to make a stand for the Lord as I worked in England. But, well, I can say initially I did take a stand, but as a fresh-faced graduate engineer, I can look back and I remember saying to a foreman on a site that I started off working at that I was a Christian, and he responded to me telling me, "We'll soon knock that out of you." And I had pride in my heart. I knew I was different from him. I knew I was strong enough to overcome the temptations of the world, or so I thought. The only difference between me and that man was that I was a sinner saved by grace, and I wasn't putting my complete trust in Christ. I wasn't walking with Christ. And away from the home, and away from a godly influence in my life, it wasn't long before I started to backslide and walk in the ways of the world. I failed to take my stand for the Lord, primarily because I didn't want to be labelled as being different. I didn't want to stand out amongst the crowd. One of the consequences of this is when I was invited to go to, say, the pubs or the clubs, I didn't put up much resistance to tagging along with my work colleagues. Now, if you spend any time at all in England, you'll soon realise, whether you like it or not, if you speak with a Northern Ireland accent, you're still classified as a stereotypical beer-drinking Irishman. And there's no such thing as a British Northern Irishman. So you're soon labelled as an Irishman. And thankful to God that even though I went with my work colleagues to these pubs and clubs, I was never tempted into drinking alcohol. But even though I socialised in this drinking environment, I was ashamed to tell others why I didn't drink. I couldn't tell them I didn't drink because I was a Christian. I couldn't tell them that I didn't believe Christians should drink. It would have been very hypocritical of me, because I was in a place where I shouldn't have been. And I knew if I had told my work colleagues this, first thing they would have told me or asked me was, well, why are you in this place? Why are you in the pub? I thought Christians were always in church, and I thought that Christians shouldn't be in these type of places. But it's so often the case that some of the unsaved know how a Christian should behave better than some Christians know themselves. And it wasn't through the evils of drink that the devil ensnared me. I was lusting after all things of the flesh, and I was unable to resist the temptations that came my way. My mother and father had brought me up as a child to have moral standards, but the longer I lived in England, the more my standards deteriorated. The everyday language that I used was that of the gutter. I even admit this evening that I took the Lord's name in vain many a time, where once I put my trust in Christ, I now took his name in vain. And unbeknown to my friends and family, I was living a secret life of sin in England. The pleasures of this world are only for a season, and I became miserable in my sin. I had lost the peace of God I once had. I forgot and lost the wonder of the cross, the manner in which I was cleansed from my past sins. I had forsaken the things of God, and I'd ruined my testimony. And feelings of guilt and shame intensified when I was at home, especially, and on my own. And I tried to bury myself as much as possible in my work, but I could not escape my sin. And I tried to cheer myself up by going on expensive holidays through to far-flung parts of the world. But the psalmist says in Psalm 139, verse 8, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Dear friend, let me tell you tonight, you lose out with the Lord if you gain knowledge of sin through experience. Young Christian, watch your company. Be careful where you go. Learn from my mistakes. Flee from sin and sin and the devil. 1 John 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. Looking back, I can say, the Lord's not a hard taskmaster. His commandments are not grievous. He tells us things through His precious word for our own protection. The devil knew he could not have my soul, but he certainly ruined my service for him in England. I was just looking out on the back garden this morning, and just beside our house is a field full of sheep. And I was watching one of the spring lambs this morning poke its head through the fence and eat the lush green grass on the lawn. And this lamb had a taste for things which were greener on the other side of the fence, and it pushed itself completely underneath the fence. But I hadn't time to watch this lamb, but I've seen it time and time again. It's not long before the lamb realizes it's far from the protection of its mother. It's not long before it tries to find its way back through the gap, but it finds great difficulty finding that gap again. And that was a bit like me. I thought the grass was greener on the other side of the fence. I thought the world had something better to offer me than Christ. I thought that I was missing out on something. And I knew where I'd gone astray. And the only difficulty was I found great difficulty getting back to my first love. And I can say tonight that I was a fool. I was a fool for thinking that I knew better than the Lord. The Lord eventually brought me to a point where I realised it was futile trying to run away from Him. I needed to run back to Him and seek His forgiveness if I was ever going to experience true happiness again. In the spring of 2005, I quit my job, sold my house and moved back to Northern Ireland. I began to re-immerse myself in the youth work of the Methodist Church, which had been instrumental in leading me to Christ. But it was not long before I became very uneasy about the ways in which the church was trying to evangelize the young people. I was particularly uncomfortable with how the church employed the worldly music to lure young people in through the doors into the youth club. The Lord spoke repeatedly to me through a verse in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? There's professing Christians out there who will tell you that if you're going to reach the lost for Christ, you have to employ the world's means. But I'm thankful tonight that's not what the Bible says. Bible tells me it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And the Word of God clearly sets forth that preaching is the singly most blessed means of reaching the lost for Christ. And the devil subtly tries to lure Christians away from this central fact that is taught and tells them that they can use the world's music to reach the lost. And I can say tonight, with hand and heart, that the devil's a liar. He's trying to promote an uncertain message, a message of confusion. And the stand I took for the Lord in this matter resulted in me leaving the Methodist Church. It was a very distressing time for me, but I thank God that in His providence He brought before me a godly man, an elder in fact, that is a member of Sandown Road Free Presbyterian Church. And at that time, I regularly confided in this man about what was happening in the Methodist Church and how I was very uneasy about what was going on. And this man gave me great counsel. He was very wise in the things of God, and he didn't pressurize me into what to do, but he just showed me from the scriptures what was right in God's eyes. And the first time I stepped into a Free Presbyterian Church was in the spring of 2006, and this man took me to Sandown Road, and for a couple of months afterwards I looked around a number of congregations in the Baptist Church and the Free Presbyterian Church, and the Lord led me to Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church. And I'm thankful to God that when I had a great fear that I was going to lose all my friends, the Lord brought new friends across my path, and He certainly honoured me for honouring Him. And the funny thing is, the first day I stepped into Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church, I said, I recognise a lot of these people. I see a lot of them coming into my dad's yard for windows and doors. And I just thought, I didn't know these people were Free Presbyterians. So it's funny how the Lord leads you. I'm thankful that He does know best. And I'm thankful that I have been blessed through the ministry of Dr. Douglas and Reverend Martin in Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church. I count it a privilege to serve the Lord in whatever little way I can. And each Tuesday night I try to attend with Noel Thompson, who's here this evening, with the outreach team. And I go along the doors asking people about their where they stand with God, and putting it to them about their need of salvation. But I have a burden, most of all, for the youth of the denomination. And for the past few years, I've been serving as a committee member in the Youth Fellowship in Lisburn. I've also had the privilege of going on as a leader to some of the Youth Council camps to Scotland and Armagh. And in the past few months, the Lord has brought me into the Youth Council Committee, and there I serve him now as the Youth Council Secretary. I've also had the privilege of serving the Lord in short-term missions. I've been to the Philippines, China and Vietnam, and I count it such a privilege that I have been brought up in a country where the gospel is freely preached. And when I was in those countries, I seen what the Christian church had to suffer for Christ's sake, and it made me thankful for the blessings I have in Christ. There's men and women there who basically, if they say they're a Christian, have the they can be locked up for professing Christ, and it is a dangerous thing to profess your faith in Christ in some of those countries. And I am grateful tonight for God's hand upon me in this country. In closing, I'd like to thank the Lord once again that He has been gracious, He has been merciful to me. I'm thankful that even though I forsook the Lord, He has never forsaken me. And thankful that for the promise that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Saviour. You don't know my Saviour. Maybe you feel you're without hope. Maybe you feel that it's beyond Christ to save you. But I ask you to come and behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world this evening. And I just put it to you, if there was any other way to get to heaven, if there was any other hope for heaven, then there would have been no need for Christ to leave the splendour of heaven to suffer in this sin-cursed world and to die at Calvary. If you think you can get to heaven through your own church attendance or your own self-righteousness or good works, why then did Christ have to suffer, bleed, and die at Calvary? Christ didn't just die to leave us an example for us to follow. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." And that means Christ died for sinners. Christ died for you. Christ died for me. And I can truly say, along with the hymn writer tonight, "O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me, there's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee." I trust that if you do not know Christ as your Saviour this night, that you'll flee to Him and ask Him to forgive you your sins. Thank you.